It's the illustrious from high above Wyoming mainstream media. Joined by Mr. Misdemeanor himself, the Saratoga Sledgehammer. Starting your day the right way on the Independence Network. It's time for the morning show with your hosts, David Iverson and Jailbird Joey.
It's time, once again, for the morning show. I'm one of your co-hosts, David Iverson from Cowboy State Politics, and I'm joined by my partner in crime, Joey Corrente from Just Blame Joey. How are we doing this morning, Joey?
Well, I got to tell you, David, I slept real well last night, had a full belly from the crock pot, had some Uncle Bozy stew going all day long. It's an unfortunate reflection of inflation. Animal meat's getting too expensive, so, you know, just threw a little bit of that Uncle Bozy in there.
That's disgusting.
Got me filled up. How are we still in an election year, the current president? I'm sorry. I know we do it all the time. You've got your gaff reel, but this guy is so far out there. And, I mean, I expect politicians to lie to me, but not about stuff like my uncle was shot down over New Guinea and eaten by cannibals so they could never find the body. This guy's running for president of the United States, and even the handlers that just use him as a puppet, they're allowing this stuff to happen. I'm so rarely surprised, but it's gone this far, and it's still, yeah, he's our guy, Joe Barbuto, up there with big thumbs up. That's our man.
What's amazing about it to me is that they actually let him out in public. Now, I know that they don't really have all that much choice. He is the president of the United States. So it's not like they can tell him, no, Mr. President, you haven't had your meds this morning, or we haven't hopped you up like we did at the State of the Union. I mean, they can't really say no, but you would think that there would be somebody behind the teleprompter trying to fix everything, you know, keep him on track. But they let him go out there off script to talk about his uncle that was allegedly eaten by cannibals. Oh, holy crap, man.
Insane. This is how I know it's still really him and not a stand-in. There's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there thinking it's a Joe Biden stand-in, but if they had a fake one, this is not the fake one they would pick.
No. It's absolutely amazing. Well, what have we got on the schedule this morning, Joey?
Well, looks like a few things coming down the pike. Let's start with some national news. Our good senator from the state of Wyoming, John Barrasso, thinks that the federal government should be able to look at your stuff, come into your house, take whatever they want, and maybe take you to jail without a warrant. John Barrasso voting in favor of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, known as FISA, and got a little bit of a problem with that. You know, just, you couldn't just trim a little fat off the Constitution and make this okay. This is a big deal.
Oh, it's huge. And if we thought, and I mean, this is a direct offshoot of the Patriot Act. Make no mistake about it. But, you know, if we thought that the Patriot Act was bad, and it was, I mean, it allowed the federal government to spy on just about everybody. And there's an interesting point to be made here. So with the Patriot Act, as I understand it, it allowed the NSA and all sorts of other, you know, alphabet soup agencies to look at the metadata behind all of your phone calls and all of your communications. So a lot of this, a lot of people think that you've got some analyst there with the headphones on listening to exactly everything that you say. That's not how it works. So really what they do is they just examine the metadata, which is the time the call was placed, who it was placed to, you know, if you sent an email somewhere, who did you send it to? And it's the whole, what is it, they say 4 degrees of separation? It's all of that. So if I call you, Joey, they would examine that and then say, all right, well, after that, who did Joey call? And then who did David call? And pretty quickly, you can figure out what exactly they were talking about without actually hearing the content of the phone call. So I mean, that's essentially what a large part of the Patriot Act did. Interestingly enough, the Patriot Act was written well before 2001. I don't know how many years, but it was several years before 2001. It was something they kept in the drawer thinking, well, we'll just hold on to this and we'll wait until the till some sort of huge disaster happens. Then we'll put it into effect. So this was planned way before September 11th. They put it on the docket and boom, they ran with it. Well, now we have FISA reauthorization. Now, the FISA court was also set up with, from my understanding, with the Patriot Act. And essentially, it was to be able to get a warrant on foreign nationals that are in the United States and listen to their communications. But as we saw with the 2016 election, the FBI and whatever alphabet gangs wanted to jump in, they were abusing the FISA court simply because their warrants were getting rubber stamped. They used the Steele dossier against President Trump, and that thing was proven to be absolutely a pile of crap. So John Barrasso voting to reauthorize this thing, absolutely, you know, I mean, there's no excuse for it whatsoever.
Yeah, I do believe Christopher Steele won the award for most creative fiction in American recent American history, beating out Rod Miller by 6 votes. So you're right, it was totally fake, and he admitted it, but they still went through all the rigmarole and acted like, even now, that all of the actions were legitimate. In a situation like that, it's not the was the reasoning or the documentation or the intel bad that is the issue for me. Okay, we figured out it was bad. The fact that there are people that knew it was fake and still took official action of the government and, again, two-tiered system of government never got held accountable for it. Those are the people that are still, you know, in the cogs of the machine making things happen. So it's terribly concerning, especially that this was reauthorized so far away from 9/11. And I believe what you said, it was already pre-written. Absolutely. This is, I think, where we get that wonderful soundbite of never let a good crisis go to waste was over the Patriot Act. Hey, we're dealing with this now. Let's get something done. And they sold us the bill of goods. Dick Cheney definitely involved and a big fan of that. So if that tells you anything. And I know they're not sitting there listening to everybody's phone calls. How could they? They've got so many hours of the Independence Network to stay up on because, you know, we're on top of their list. They can't listen to everybody all the time. But it is a very low margin of concern when they do that, what you explained, Kevin Bacon game, few degrees of separation, before they start doing things like really reading your emails, text messages, and phone calls. And the other thing that they do in that metadata is look at location data. So if you happen to be close to somebody else more than, you know, a couple of times when they're doing that stuff, hey, you're on the list now. It's really what they're going to do with this, what they have been doing with this. Don't think it's only going to be people like Donald Trump. You know, there's a lot of stuff in politics and social media, civil or I guess it's uncivil sometimes, interaction, personal interactions that throw up red flags for them. So,
well, you got to
be careful with what's going on because your senator is not out there protecting your privacy.
No, and with the advances in AI, just think about this, right? They set some version of AI loose on your phone calls, your emails. That's probably already happening. All of that data can be compiled, you know, in lightning time. I mean, it doesn't take all of that much. Just think about just about everybody. Well, I shouldn't say just about everybody, but most people have had at least one Facebook post flagged. Well, that's not a person that's sitting there watching you post whatever it is that you're posting in Wyoming political discussions or whatever. That's an algorithm. So it's just a computer program that looks at that, you know, what you typed out or the picture that you posted. And if it fits within the rubric of what they've programmed that thing to do, it gets flagged. So it's done automatically. So don't think that if you're talking on the phone and, you know, it's a big joke, You know, a lot of people have like Amazon Alexa in their house or the Google Dot or whatever. I have one. It's not plugged in all the time, but you know, it's a big joke. You know, you say something that's a little off color, and that's just kidding, just kidding. I'm joking. You know, don't pay any attention to this. So that's kind of a joke, but when you add in all of the capabilities of the FISA court and AI, it's not really a joke. You know, it's kind of like the whole thing, don't say the word bomb in an airport. Well, with a lot of the advances in AI, it's very likely that the communications of average Americans are absolutely being monitored. Now, Joey, they did make some reforms to the FISA bill. Did you hear about those?
What I heard was one reform they didn't make. I saw the list. I didn't really get up with it. But the funny thing is, as usual, Congress is exempt from FISA activity.
Of course
I know
are.
That one's in there. And that bothers me more than anything. We talked yesterday about resolutions from the state convention. One of the resolutions in there is that elected officials and government employees being subject to the same laws as everyone else. But in the FISA situation, they made sure that Congress is exempt from FISA activity. You actually have to get a warrant and treat them like American citizens. Be concerning as well. What else you got on their adjustment list?
Well, so they said Congress is exempt, and this other reform, this is totally going to protect every American citizen, and I know this is going to put you completely at ease, Joey, but they've added another bureaucratic layer to it that they have to, another hoop they have to jump through in order to get a FISA warrant, which I don't even know why they call it a warrant, because it's, you know, the paper underneath the rubber stamp. But those two things, those are the big reforms that are in the whole FISA package. I know that you feel a lot better about this whole situation.
Yeah. Let me tell you why they call it a FISA warrant, what the difference is, why we're complaining that it's warrantless searches. The readily apparent probable cause, the reason they would need to look deeper into you, normally they would need a warrant just to look at that data, the metadata, your location data, who you're calling, all that stuff. For the government to focus on you and look at any of your stuff would take a warrant. Well, now they don't require a warrant to get the base information or probable cause they need to get the FISA warrant. Once you have a FISA warrant, it's not like other warrants that you get in America. In the Constitution, it says, you know, duly sworn warrant, specific purpose, specific items and locations to be searched. A FISA warrant is kind of a blank check. So that's what we're talking about when we say warrantless searches, is they're starting there. We're going to go to this next level of warrant and able to search and seize your information, your property, whatever, without any legitimate probable cause. That first warrant they would need is to look at you for anything. So, yeah, majorly concerning. I don't know that it's going to get any more intense than it's been. I mean, they've already been doing this for nearly 20 years. But there's a reason that they want this, and it really is exactly, I mean, they created a whole new committee in Congress that Harriet runs, with the weaponization of the federal government against the people. And this is definitely part of that. And we got to kind of put a stop to some of this stuff. It's the same thing as the concern over my high capacity assault microphones in the Senate. Like, I'm going to pick up your private conversations and I don't know, rail you with it. Now, most people, we do all of our worst stuff right out there in public and put it on social media. So I don't see this as being terribly necessary at this point in American history. We have to have intelligence agencies that know who they're looking at and why. And, you know, John Q. Public, there's another reason for this. And I think it's going to go back to creation of lists. They're going to say, well, we didn't have a reason to look at this guy for terrorism, but over here, you know, he's selling black market Beanie Babies, and they're going to have lists of everything without having to have any probable cause to even look at you for anything.
Well, and just think about this, right? One of the things that topic areas, I guess you could call it, that people get fired up about, pun intended, is gun purchases. So who owns firearms? Who's selling them to whom? So let's just say I call you, Joey, and I say, hey, you remember that fantastic gun you've been nagging me about to sell you? Well, I've decided I'll go ahead and sell it to you if you're still interested. So this is not just something that deals with terrorists or criminals. Like Joey said, this is an attempt to create lists to monitor the activities of everyday Americans. And the reason we can throw everyday Americans in there is we have AI, we have basically warrantless searches and seizures. And so don't think for a minute that any of those things aren't involved. And we know that all the redcoats in Congress, they definitely want to know who has firearms and who doesn't. So, I mean, this has tentacles that reach out just about everywhere. And it's, you know, at our cabin, and this seems a little off topic, but at our cabin, we have the bookshelf for the when stuff really hits the fan. You know, books that you always need to read that are always applicable in just about every time period. And one of them that's on the list is 1984. If you don't think that a lot of the stuff that's in that book is happening, I mean, if you think it's not happening now, you're absolutely out of your mind. Right now, they're out in the open with it, and our senator just voted for it. So Big Brother's definitely watching you, Joey. Well, he's always watching you, but yeah. Now he's watching me.
And last word on that would be, I don't know why they need all this extra stuff, extra technology, extra warrant without a warrant search capabilities. When you remember, they got a track on and investigated and then murdered Randy Weaver's family without all this extra stuff. That was all before, you know, go back to Ruby Ridge. Hey, guys, just do a little gumshoe work and go out and violate the rights of people the old-fashioned way with the good old elbow grease and American ingenuity. But yeah, I don't think any of this is necessary, and it's especially disheartening when our senator is one of the ones supporting it. So
absolutely.
Oh, well, there is a way to address that, though. We have an election coming up in November. There was an interesting story I picked up in the Sheridan Press. It looks like 25% of Sheridan County voters and up to 27% of voters statewide were purged following the 2022 election. Now, 27%, that's a big number. That's close enough to get you a win in the primary if you're running for governor. I think 30% is the cutoff for that. But let's talk about what happens in Wyoming and elections. And I know we talk about it on and off, and it's still, I don't know, a mystery to some people. If you do not vote in a general election, the next February, you will be scrubbed from the voter rolls for inactivity. Wyoming's one of the few states that has that, and I'll get into why that is in a little bit. But it's not the last presidential election. It is the last general election. Every 2 years, if you're not in the voting booth or sending in an absentee ballot in November, they're going to go ahead and scrub you from the voter rolls. The other thing they do, they check with the Office of Vital Statistics, anybody who's dead on the voter rolls. You know, this isn't Chicago. We actually take them off. Anybody who's committed a felony, anybody who's registered elsewhere, moved out of the county or to another state, they check that through the National Registry and Property Records. They have a machine that does all this for them. So right now, the voter rolls are down about a little more than 25% than they were during the last presidential election. Now, I don't see that as a problem personally because I know the system, but you're going to have a lot of people showing up that still think they're registered to vote on election day that need to re-register. That could be a time crunch for them. This has nothing to do with any problems anybody may have with Chuck Gray. This is a law that's been on the books for a long time. And remember, Governor Vito, that's accurate. Governor Gordon vetoed all of Chuck Gray's rule proposals. So nothing new under the sun, nothing that you can lay at the feet of Chuck Gray. You may not be registered to vote. And I did a whole show about this 2 weeks ago. In fact, I think I'll play it again today on my show just to make sure everyone's up to date. You need to know that you're registered. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of frustration, and you may not have the documentation on you when you go to vote this November.
So this story has a number of interesting points in it. The first is the shock headline, 27 or whatever the number is, 25-27% of people scrubbed from the voter rolls. Okay, but that tells you that that 25 or 27% didn't vote in the last election, in the last general election. So they're not really people that are voting anyway. And if you look at like voter statistics nationwide, and you don't even have to go nationwide, you could just go statewide. In Wyoming, right around half of the people that are eligible to vote are actually registered to vote. And about only half of those, or half to 60% of those, actually end up voting. So the amount of people that make it to the polls on election day is already pretty small. And though the headline is kind of shocking, you know, a quarter of the registered voters were scrubbed from the voter rolls, that also tells you that a quarter of those people didn't vote in the last election. The second thing I would say is, if you're the average voter and, you know, you're worried if you're registered to vote or not, first of all, you need to go to the courthouse and register. But if you don't do that, we still have the whole registration on demand at the polling location. But like you say, Joey, you've got to have the necessary paperwork there, which honestly is not that cumbersome. You got to have your driver's license, basically. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think that the headline is that shocking. It is if you're uninformed and you like, holy crap, they're getting rid of all the voters. But it's not that. It's, you know, a quarter of the people didn't vote in the last election and therefore were scrubbed. And personally, I think that's a good thing. Keeping your voter rolls nice and clean and up to date is a good thing. We use the voter rolls for a lot of different things, jury selection, for example. So, I mean, we've got to have up-to-date records. And one of the problems in American elections, and this does happen in Wyoming, is that the voter rolls sometimes are not up-to-date. During the last election, I printed out walking lists, is what we refer to them as. But it's basically, you know, which house has Republicans or Democrats living in them. And I saw several instances where there were homes that I knew for a fact had been sold a few years prior, and there were still three previous owners of that house listed there. So what that tells you is those people moved, they didn't re-register to vote, and technically, legally, they could still vote at that old address. So I'm not saying that, you know, it's our voter rolls are perfect by any means, or that we've got the gold standard. What I'm saying is, even though we do scrub our voter rolls every 2 years, it doesn't mean that they're entirely up to date or they're nice and clean and pristine like we'd like them to be.
No, the classic folly of anything is, it's a great idea on paper until you put people to it. That's an individual's decision whether they're going to keep it up to date or not. The system really can't do it. We're not going to kick you out of the party or take your right to vote if you hit these minimum things. The problem with what you just said, three previous owners still voting at the same address, the only way that happens is if they're still voting from the same address. That means they're going into the polling location. Because if you asked for the absentee ballot, it would go to the house you don't live at anymore. You can't go in that mailbox. That's a federal crime that they would actually probably do something about. Grab your ballot. But that means they're still voting from that old address. And I didn't know Dan Zwanzer had that many family members. I mean, if that's happening all across the state, I'm voting from my old address. Definitely a people problem. I think on paper, we're as close to the gold standard for elections in Wyoming as possible. It's always when the administrators of the election get involved or the voters themselves. I get it. There's times when it's difficult. Another interesting thing about this number, 25% scrubbed. Let's say 5% of those are people that actually died, got felonies. So you're looking at 20% of previously registered voters. It causes another thing to happen that I hear a lot of talk about. How did Wyoming have 100%+ voter participation? Well, this is how it happens. People who want to vote, who are legally entitled to vote, who are not currently registered to vote, the day we grab that number before the election and say, hey, there's 165,000 registered voters in Wyoming. And then on election day, they show up and register. if everybody who's already registered to vote, that gets you to 100%. If that extra 20% that fell off the rolls registers the day of the election, you're going to have 120% voter participation that is completely legitimate. It's not a sign of fraud. It's a sign of laziness, a lack of care of the voter themselves. But that's how we get that number that I hear a lot of people complaining about. And I'm glad that we got to bring this up way before the election, so it's on the record. That's how that number happens. And the reason it happens this way in Wyoming, the automatic scrub every February, even in non-election years, because they go and they clean up all of the people that have moved, that have died, that have gone to jail. But the reason that that happens is because we do have day of voter registration. And the reason all that happens is so that we're not locked into the federal voter rule. The Clinton era, when you get a driver's license or an ID, you're automatically registered to vote. So there is a method to this madness and a reason for it. It's not a Republican or Chuck Gray issue, and it does cause some things to look a little funky. But even without the rule changes, if you were waiting to the last day and you don't know and you show up and you're not registered to vote, it may be difficult for you to vote if you don't have the proper documentation. Like David said, it should be as easy as having your driver's license, but I don't know, does your driver's license have your current address on? A lot of people don't update that stuff. There's not a law saying you have to. So if you're saying, oh, well, I don't live at this address, well, you're going to have to prove what address you do live at. So it's always good to know that you know. You don't have to go to the courthouse. You can call your clerk and say, hey, I want to check and make sure I'm registered. I don't know a clerk in the state that's not going to be helpful or have someone in the office who will get you online with that and figure it out. But 25%, that's interesting to see what that'll turn into come election day, if we actually recoup that or if there's actually been a reduction in active voters. Now, the discrepancy between 25 and 27% in the story makes sense to me, because I do believe at least 2% of the population of Laramie County, Natrona County, have been convicted of felonies, so they probably fell off the voter rolls legitimately. If you read the news lately, there's nobody not getting shot or stabbed on a day-by-day basis in Casper or Cheyenne. So, but know that you know, get on the website or get a phone call out to your county clerk, and just don't be surprised. People feeling slighted when they're being, you know, put through the bureaucratic system of disenfranchisement, even if it's legitimate, that is problematic to me, but it's also a responsibility of the voter. We can't do anything else for you except for continue to remind you, make sure you know you're registered.
Well, and there's a lot of different laws like this that, and it seems to me that the press, and not specifically the Sheridan press, I'm talking about the media in general, they get fired up about voter registration, but there's a lot of other laws that you've got to follow too when you move. So for example, I can't remember what the time period is, But if you move to Wyoming from another state, even if your license plates are still valid, I think you have like 30 days to change your license plates. There's a lot of people that don't do that. What about changing your driver's license if you move? A lot of people wait until their driver's license expires before they go back to the DMV, because we know how much fun that is. And so, I mean, it's not just your voter registration that people don't keep up on. It's driver's licenses, it's license plates, it's a whole host of things. But the reason that the media gets all irritated about voter registration is they're entirely liberal. So, of course, they want as many people registered as possible. And that's not to say that Republicans don't also, but it's always the press that overblows these stories. So like we just talked about, the 25% getting scrubbed from the voter rolls, that's not really that big of a shocker of a story, but it's the press making it into a big story. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that go into this, and really, 25%, I'm not shocked at all. There's a lot of people that don't go vote.
Yeah, one more thing in that same vein. People, and I'm not saying you're bad people or you're dumb people, it happens, don't update their driver's licenses, don't update their vehicle registration, their voter registration. The other thing, if you move even across the street from your own house, you need to update your hunter's profile with Game and Fish, because if you have a tag that doesn't have your current information on it when they check it out, specifically your conservation stamp for the year has a different address, I have no doubt that they would go ahead. And I've seen it happen a couple times where, well, we issued you this at this address, and now we're not tracking your proper address. So everything needs to be updated. And I bet you if anything's going to get anybody's attention in Wyoming, it's you need to update your hunter registration with Game and Fish as well. Not so much that you'd get busted this time out, but when you go to reapply for next year, you might have to prove where you're living again, because that system goes by address, and the conservation stamp technically is a form of ID with your driver's license on it. I know that's what I use when I buy a gun as proof of residency, because my driver's license has a PO box on it. They won't take it, but they'll take a conservation stamp.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's fun.
Did you
Let's say you're registered to vote. You're all ready to go ahead.
I was going to say, did you see the article where the Wyoming Tourism or Economic Development or whatever business council, how they turned all of their social media dark after the whole wolf thing in Daniel?
Yeah, that's real fun. You got to love it when the government is getting so much attention that they say, okay, it's time for real government to act like real government acts. We don't want to hear from the people anymore. We don't actually work for you. Too much crap. I get that it's cumbersome, but that's your job. You know, you guys regulate this stuff, whether it's good or bad. Or, you know, if they were getting the same amount of traffic and volume on positive things of, I had the greatest hunting experience of my life in Wyoming or whatever, you think they would turn it off? No, they just don't want to deal with the reality of the public. And it's sad, and I don't think it's appropriate. They should have, if you're going to have social media, leave it on.
Exactly right. Anyway, what else we got on our list today, Joey?
Well, let's say you are registered to vote. You know you're registered to vote and you're getting ready to vote. You might want to look up some candidates before you go and get your ballot. But if you look at some candidates' personal campaign websites, it may not be what you think it is. It looks like Representative Rachel Rodriguez Williams, her website for her campaign has been taken over by Planned Parenthood, which is not a shock, but that they are the ones that took it over. We don't have any confirmation whether it was jacked, stolen, or she just let the domain lapse and they legitimately bought it. And Rachel Rodriguez Williams already had a new website set up. But right now, if you go to her campaign website, was it Rachel Williams 50 something?
Yeah, I think
like
it's
that.
Like Williams for HD 50 or something. Let me look it up while we're talking about it.
So yeah, if you go to her old campaign website for Rachel Rodriguez Williams up there in House District 50, it'll redirect you to the Planned Parenthood website immediately. There's no click here link. It's just straight from the probably one of the most dedicated fighters against the murdering of babies in Wyoming. Her website will take you to the baby murdering factory here in America. Looks like David's still looking. So again, I don't know if the story actually says, I don't see anything in here other than the one quote from Representative Williams, which I agree with, of, well, you know, you're doing a good job when they're coming after your website. And obviously, Planned Parenthood thinks it's going to matter, thinks it's cute. I don't see any criminality being explained or accused here. Very few comments from Representative Williams on the thing, so I don't know that it was a hack. I think the domain lapsed, Planned Parenthood bought it, and that's what happens.
Well, now what's interesting.
I think we just did a whole.
So check this out. I just typed in the website, and it's listed as williamsforhd50.com. And let me just refresh everything here. And it didn't go to Planned Parenthood. So hold on just a second, and we'll check it out. I don't know. This whole internet thing is fascinating to me because you have, yeah, that's weird. So anyway, I'm going to have to check that out because it didn't go to Planned Parenthood this time. But anyway, each candidate, I mean, I think it's almost mandatory that candidates have their own website. I mean, if you want to put out your own information, how better to do that than to have a website where all of your constituents can go and learn about you? Well, according to the story, Representative Rodriguez Williams evidently, for whatever reason, didn't pay the fee to the domain, and it was snatched up by Planned Parenthood, which is fascinating. It tells you how I guess, how much attention these national advocacy groups pay to even state-level officials. And let's be honest, like Representative Rachel Rodriguez Williams has been like the number one legislator sponsoring pro-life legislation. Her and Senator Salazar, actually, both of them have probably introduced the same amount of bills, but it's been Representative Williams who's been out front. She was the sponsor of the Life is a Human Right Act, the Trigger Bill. She was at the very least a co-sponsor of the Let's Regulate Abortion so-called doctors. The reason why I call them so-called doctors is it's a problem taking the Hippocratic Oath when your profession is going to be killing babies. So they have to be so-called doctors, not exactly doctors. But anyway, the good representative from Park County did have her website jacked by Planned Parenthood. I personally think it's kind of funny, and I'm very interested in all of this political strategy. So, yeah, I mean, whomever figured that out, they were on the ball for sure.
Yeah, no doubt whatsoever. It doesn't seem that Representative Williams is too upset about it. She makes basically the statement we use here from our good friend Ken Pendergraft. The flak is always the thickest when you're directly over the target. So if she's garnering that kind of attention and effort from the national organization, then it's only proof that she's been effective. They see her as a threat. She has not wavered one bit. She's only actually intensified since 2020 when she first got elected. Her stance and her representation of the people's voice and saying, this is not something we want in Wyoming. And yeah, when you garner attention like that, you're doing your job, at least in somebody's eyes. And nobody believes Rachel Rodriguez Williams is doing as good of a job as Planned Parenthood does, apparently, because, I mean, Park County, Wyoming, really, your national organization is going to focus on a single state representative there. Well, yeah, it's the David versus Goliath thing. They see the threat and looks like they're attacking it. Again, I don't know. I'm not going to lean into any fraud or legality that they actually hijacked it. It may have just been the lapse, but that goes back to what we were just talking about. If you have a website, make sure you're still registered. Make sure you still own that thing. Stay on top of the bills. I know Rachel Rodriguez Williams a little bit personally, and I don't think it was a faux pas on her part. It's likely that she has another website or something administrative or goofy happened. But the other interesting thing is it wasn't Planned Parenthood proper that bought the domain name and admitted and took credit for it. It was just the link that when you put in the web address, it used to go to. I guess now David's saying it doesn't. But it was one of these lawyer, what do you call it, the registered agent for a group at a post office box or an address that represents like 700 companies that bought this domain name. And nobody's really claiming credit for it purposely. They just happened to redirect it to Planned Parenthood. So I'm sure if we kept an eye on the website over the next couple months, we'll see it redirected to lots of different unappealing websites to people who would support conservative pro-life legislation.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, you would think that a state-level legislator would not be the target of a national organization. But a lot of these groups are focused at the state level because political advocacy organizations have noticed that if you want to exact real change in whatever your cause is, it starts at the state level. And a lot of representatives and senators, like Representative Rodriguez Williams, do have some sort of a national platform. I mean, albeit a lot smaller than, say, you know, Senator Barrasso or Senator Lummis. Still, though, she's got a lot of attention nationwide, and her, you know, her name is out there with a lot of these different groups. And we have seen, and this is perhaps a more interesting angle on the story, that Wyoming has become more prominent in a lot of different causes. Okay, abortion being one of them, voter registration being another one. But think about this, Joey. A lot of people look at Wyoming as one of the more conservative states in the union. And so how big of a win would it be if you could flip Wyoming? Like, if you could turn the reddest state to a purple or blue state, that would be a gigantic win for any national organization. And so, you know, it kind of makes sense that these national groups like Planned Parenthood are focusing in on the state level.
Yeah, crown jewel of the progressive effort right there, no doubt. But it could also be used in political capital on the conservative side. If you live in the area where Representative Williams may end up on your ballot, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. But if you want national attention on all of your issues and you've got a representative that's getting national attention for everything they do, when you get your ballot, you know what to do. You at least know that they're all looking at everything a certain individual does. And if you want them to look at everything your representative's doing because you feel your issues are important and you want national attention on it, stick with the person that's getting the national attention, even if it's not a right to life issue. And I just kind of leave it there before I accidentally tread into endorsing a candidate.
So Trotsky's got another article out, and he's trying to discuss the big tent versus the small tent. And of course, he's referring to the Wyoming Republican Convention that was held this past weekend, the one that Joey and I are still recovering from. But it's an interesting discussion because he uncharacteristically talked to both sides of it. People who you might consider to be way more conservative than some. And he also talked to some Republicans that they're definitely end up on the redcoat list. And it's an interesting article, but in my personal opinion, the big tent was always a facade for the political establishment. That, you know, yes, everybody refers to Ronald Reagan's 80-20 rule, but they misquote it all of the time. Literally, what Ronald Reagan meant is that we have to agree on all of the big issues. That, you know, the big planks in the platform, and I would argue that all of the planks in the platform are important, but what Reagan meant is, let's agree on all of the other stuff, on the big stuff, and then if we can agree on 80% of the little things, then we can all be, you know, one big party. That's literally what he meant. Mike Enzi is also famous in Wyoming for talking about the 80-20 rule. That's what he was talking about, too. He wasn't saying that if you're a Democrat, go ahead and join the Republican Party and we can be friends. That's not what any of that stuff means. And so when Trotsky is talking about the big tent, literally what he means is, let's include everybody, not just people who really are Republicans. Because we all know, and the last part of that article, and I don't know if you read this one, Joey, but the very last sentence in Trotsky's article is, well, they scheduled the convention during calving season, and that's the reason why Redcoat Speaker of the House Albert Sommers didn't come to the convention. Have you ever seen Albert Sommers at a Republican event? Ever?
No.
No.
Never, never, ever?
Never,
never, ever, ever. And historically, there were conventions, and I think it's mentioned here in the article, that we have our convention in May a little later, and still no Albert Sommers historically, and all the way back in 2020, we had a portion of our convention virtually because of COVID, and yeah, there was no Albert Sommers involved there either. I've never heard of him showing up at a county-level meeting for any of the counties that he represents on the House side. And yeah, I've never known him to actually be involved with the effort, conservatism, or the party proper. I've heard him write a lot of op-eds about us, but I've never seen him show up and deliver them in person.
No, I've never seen, and a lot of these people that complain about the big tent or the small tent or, you know, any of this stuff, I've hardly ever seen any of them at a Republican event. Many of your elected state representatives that I call redcoats, they don't even show up. So, for example, at the Republican convention, Representative Barry Crago's wife, who is a state committee woman from Johnson County, was there. His daughter was a page at the state convention, but you didn't see Representative Poison Barry Crago anywhere near the convention. Why that is? Well, it could be that he would be laughed out of the room for even claiming to be a Republican. So a lot of these people that are complaining about, you know, oh, we're getting rid of the big tent. They're not anybody. I mean, they're not participating in the party. They're not people that are going to donate to the state Republican Party or any of that. I mean, a lot of it is a lot of bullcrap smoke, if you ask me.
Yeah, and let me give you my philosophy on the big tent theory. I think it's easier sometimes when you visualize it. The size of the tent itself, the capacity of the tent, is endless. It is a very big tent. But the size of the door and the size of the bouncer at the door is pretty solid. It just, hey, for Wyoming, here's 22 things in our platform. If you agree with us on most of these, and it used to say it in the platform, anyone who agrees with us on these questions is welcome to join our cause. So it's not the size of the tent. It's the access, the entry fee. What do you got to do? You actually have to be part of the group inside the tent. So I think we have room for everybody who substantially agrees with the fundamental principles of the Republican Party. I don't think people should be, you know, willy-nilly kicked out until we change the law. But we're not talking about kicking people out. We're talking about who thinks they can just come in. Now, it's a great, you know, kumbaya thought of, well, the tent's big, so everybody should be able to get in. That's not the case. A political philosophy is the foundation of a political party. And if you can't have one and you can't at least have the discussion of, you know, well, maybe you don't belong here. Not that we want to kick you out or be mean. We're just saying would a Muslim be allowed to walk into a Catholic church during Mass, throw a rug on the floor, start praying and interrupt everything and just say, oh, I have religious freedom? I don't think they'd really get away with that. I don't know what the laws are governing that, but I know the laws in Wyoming say, hey, you can't just kick people out willy-nilly. So we need to address the law and we need to start driving that narrative a little more clearly. We're not saying you're not good Americans. We're saying you do not align with us fundamentally on the principles. Therefore, you're probably not going to get past the bouncer to get into the tent. Kind of the same argument I had with Medicaid expansion. All you're doing with Medicaid expansion is increasing the size of the doorway. It's the opposite of what I'm explaining here. You're not increasing the size of the house. So you can't actually fit more stuff into that house. You can get, I don't know, bigger people through the door, and with Medicaid expansion, you might have to. But these philosophies are, you know, not based on judgment. Oh, you're a bad person because you're not. It's just saying, hey, this is what we've established ourselves as. And really, you're either unaware, undedicated to principle, or you're specifically here to destroy that. I know everybody wants to feel like they're a Republican. It's very convenient in Wyoming. A lot of people I meet are Republican via nostalgia. I loved Ronald Reagan, and my daddy and my granddaddy were Republicans. But even some of the real staunch conservatives don't know the content of the principles. They think that our first plank says we're against abortion. That's not what the first plank in the platform says at all. It says we believe in the right to life. And I personally think that that one's a little underdefined because it says from conception to natural death. But plank 3 also says you have the right to keep and bear arms in defense of life, property, and against tyranny. So what is the standard in the Republican Party? I believe in your right to life. I also believe in my right to defend my life and my property and against tyranny. But it's not a natural death, so I'm only allowed to kneecap you with my pistol. So some of those philosophical questions could happen, but the foundational principles, there are people that are absolutely against the unquestionable right to bear arms. There are people that are pro-abortion beyond the life of the mother and rape and incest that still think that those are going to fly in a group of people, that these are really the top two, the most weighted principles in the Republican Party. And it's just not true. That's not how any of this works. And if we had a more robust Democrat Party and a bigger presence of our third, what they call the third parties, the constitutionalists and the libertarians, I don't think it would be that difficult for people to find a place where they belonged, and the concept of republicanism, I wouldn't say would become more pure, it just wouldn't be so important that I have to be a Republican. I'm actually representing my philosophies, my ideals, and they tend to be more libertarian, and that would be okay, and I think it's necessary. We need to be able to find a way to provide that to the people of Wyoming.
And I think I would even question the argument that we don't have a big tent. Because, you know, you were actively involved in the convention, you know, at least on the convention floor. I wasn't a delegate, so I was just kind of watching the voting happening. And it was very clear that you did not have a homogenous group at the convention. There wasn't, like, everybody that was there is not single-minded on everything. There are a number of counties in Wyoming that are decidedly less conservative than the others. And they're still members of the Republican Party. So take, for example, Sweetwater County, the home of drag show Clark Stiff. A lot of the people that make up that county central committee are not in any way as conservative as I consider myself to be, or perhaps you, Joey. I mean, I've heard them, a lot of members of that county party, argue for things that, you know, I don't agree with at all. And yet they are still part of the Republican Party. Take, for example, our larger population counties like Natrona or Laramie. Now, Natrona has some problems because they haven't paid their dues in, you know, since 2019, and they owe the state party thousands of dollars. So they don't have as many delegates as the rest of the state. But the delegates they do have, they're a little bit more liberal than the rest of the state. The same could be said for Laramie County, though at their county convention, conservatives did take over quite a few more seats than they have in the past. Or look at Teton County. Now, several of the people from Teton County are really conservative, but there's a part of their county party, and I'm talking about their leadership now, they're way more liberal than the rest of us. So the assertion that we don't have a big tent, I think, is flawed from the very beginning. Nobody is saying, hey, Teton County, get out of our party, or Sweetwater County, or Niobrara even. That one is kind of surprising, simply because Niobrara is a pretty rural county. But if you look at their county party leadership, they don't vote in lockstep with the more conservative members of the state central committee. So I think this whole idea that we've done away with the big tent is kind of flawed from the very beginning. Now, I would say that conservatives are in power in the state central committee. So a lot of the policies that you see come out of state central committee meetings and the convention are more conservative than they might otherwise be. But again, I reject the whole idea that we've done away with the big tent. I think it's just a fabrication of the media in order to get them more clicks.
Yeah, and if there's any evidence you need of that, David spoke to these counties, Natrona County specifically. They were limited to 6 delegates. So of their entire county, and they were allowed to have the original allotment, had they paid their dues, would have been 37 delegates, whittled down to 6. In a county that only allows 6 people to be seated, you still had Pat Sweeney, former representative, as a delegate on the floor, actively participating in Republican Party business. This is the same representative that, when he ran for office the last time and lost, admitted at a forum that, I do not agree with most of the Wyoming Republican Party platform. I am always going to be at odds with it no matter what. He was still able to actively participate. So if the tent is big enough where you can have Vince Venata and Pat Sweeney on the same debate floor, then I don't think it's a tent size problem. You have a spectrum of representation of ideas in that room.
And let's just take a look at how the state central committee is formed. During elections, you have people run for precinct positions, and it could be anybody, right? If you're a registered Republican, you can run for a precinct position. There's no, when you sign up, there's no box that says, am I ultra conservative? Have I been right so far? That's me. Or anything like that. It just says Republican or Democrat. And then you run for your precinct position. And if you win, then you're part of the county central committee. And then they have internal elections, right? If you want to run for chairman, go for it. Right? There's nobody stopping you. If you win that election, well, then you can take the county party, you know, with the consent of the body, but you can have your influence on the party. So really, I mean, I think that I understand where Trotsky is coming from, in that he's not really a Republican, nor does he really understand how the party works. And I mean, there's already inaccuracies in the article that he wrote anyway. But I think that it's a creation and a narrative of the Wyoming media to push this whole idea that, oh, the evil Republican Party, they're a small tent and they'll kick anybody out that they don't agree with. None of that is true. There's been lots of resolutions that have come forth that you and I have looked at it, and I can point to a couple of them that I've said, hey, Joey, look at this. And both of us have laughed, you know, for a couple of reasons. First, because it has no chance of passing. But second, that it's not in any way anywhere close to what you and I would consider Republican. So I think this whole big tent, small tent thing is a creation of the media, and I don't think it's accurate at all.
Yeah, and I don't know what the aim is. You prove that Wyoming Republican Party has a very selective small tent, and what, you're going to inspire more people to want to join it? It sounds like something that would drive you away, but I think it's used in reverse. I don't get the point of it. I think if we stick to grassroots representation and listening to the people and having who we want representing us for our purposes, we'll be fine if we stick to principle. And yeah, I don't know what the end game is there, but let's see, we're running down on the end of the hour here. So yeah, today on Just Blame Joey Live, I'm going to go ahead and replay that, how to register and vote in Wyoming, not who to vote for, but the steps you need to go through to get there, because this story made me realize, hey, there's more people than I thought that may need to register to vote. Also remember that if you aren't registered to vote right now, it's kind of a loophole in that crossover voting law. You're considered a new registration if you were scrubbed from the voter rolls. So you can kind of register in any party you want. I don't know if they're going to have to tighten up that law or not. But that's what I'm going to do. Quick nod to my opening statement, the Uncle Bozy stew. That was obviously a joke, unless somebody wants to write a news article about
it's just
me
disgusting.
Being a cannibal. And well, it has to be a joke, because even with inflation, human meat is at least $150 a pound on the dark web. So I wouldn't waste the money on it. Anyway, what do you got going on today, David?
Oh, a couple of different things. Back live on the program this morning. I think I'm recovered enough to pull off a live program. Also, kind of a big announcement that I'm pretty excited about. Probably on Friday will be the inaugural day of the Cowboy State Politics Ditto Cam. I'm pretty excited about that. So we're going to have I'm going to live stream it right to the website. And I'm thinking, if you go to cowboystatepolitics.com and there's a tab up there that still says live, that's where it's going to be. And you can watch me do the show if you want. I've had a lot of people asking me to put a camera in the studio so they can see what's going on. So that's probably going to happen on Friday. On Cowboy State Politics Live, I'm just going to kind of bounce around the news a little bit. I've got a really funny article about David Mamet's comments. David Mamet is a comedian. He's written a number of really funny plays, but also some movies that you might have seen, like The Untouchables, Glengarry Glen Ross, The Edge, Wag the Dog, The Heist. So he's a pretty well-known producer, and he's going after, shockingly, diversity, equity, and inclusion. He calls it stupid, and it's pretty funny. And then, like I said, there's a lot of stuff to catch up on that's been happening on the national scene. So we're going to do a lot of national politics today. Also, we're going to have continuing coverage on the Independence Network of a whole bunch of stuff that happened at the Republican convention. Like I say, when you're gone for 4 days out of the studio, it takes a little bit of time to recoup and get going again. So make sure that you pay attention to the Independence Network, Cowboy State Politics, Just Blame Joey. We'll get Ken back in the studio towards the end of the week. He's off visiting grandbabies in Colorado for a couple of days, so we'll get him back. And we should have everything on the network rolling again. By the way, there's a new article on the Independence Network by Representative Ben Hornock. You might go take a look at that. But that'll about do it for today's installment of The Morning Show. Make sure that you keep the Independence Network playing in the background. You don't want to miss a minute of all the stuff that's said. And with that, we'll see you tomorrow.